This podcast replay is brought to you by American Dream Lending. For purchase or refinance, call 786-802-1727. Fast approvals and quick closings. American Dream Lending. Turning dreams into a lifestyle. Call 786-802-1727 or visit adreamlending.com.
All right, we are ready to go with the American Dream Lending Miami Dolphins Weekly Report. How you doing, Joe? You hanging in there?
I am good, Big O. How are you?
Good, good. You're not a crypto guy, right? I think we've spoken about this before, right?
No, I've had success with traditional stocks. It is important that everybody invest their money in something, though. Don't just put it in a bank account.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. I was just actually telling folks, like on crypto, you can grab like what you got in your savings account. You can buy USDC coin, which is a stable coin. It stays at a dollar. And then you stake it and you get 10%. So like a lot of people have their money sitting in savings, getting jack, maybe 0.5% or 0.25%. You can have that same money sitting in crypto, getting 10%.
Yeah, a savings account is not a good path for anybody. No. So you should explore your options.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about that, man. There are many options out there. All right, so do the Dolphins have an option at quarterback, or are they stuck with Brissett, bro?
Well, do you mean are they going to go to
– the tape don't lie.
It don't lie. Jacoby missed some guys.
Yes.
He was a little sensitive about it when we spoke to him yesterday. And, you know, throughout his career, he's a guy who's been ultra-conservative. And I wrote in the Palm Beach Post that Sunday is the day to let loose. The Bucs have the worst passing defense in the NFL. They're all banged up in the secondary. Richard Sherman just came off the street. This is a chance to try to put it up, get Devontae Parker involved earlier. But no, I think it's Brissett over Sinnott. Sinnott is not was not an option, according to Coach Brian Flores after the last game.
Yeah, no, and listen, I understand they don't trust him. He's young. He was playing scrubberinis when he marveled us with his play in that final preseason game. The only thing, you know, the part that I find in that discussion, and all of that is right. He's playing lesser talent, all of that. But you don't teach the moxie that he showed you back there. You know, the way he scrambled, the way he tried to find players back there. Those are things that either comes naturally. Either you have it or you don't, Joe. Right? I mean, where at least it intrigues me. That, you know, I don't seem like I have a fighting chance that much with Jacoby, because he just keeps digging you in a hole. And then at the end, he's trying to throw the ball, you know, downfield. Well, if I don't have a chance with you, I might as well see if the young guy can surprise the hell out of us.
Yeah, I mean, they're paying Jacoby Brissett a pretty good salary for this specific reason, to fill in when Tua Tagovailoa is injured. And obviously everyone expected that at least at some point this season, Jacoby Brissett would be needed. I mean, look, he does at least have experience. And he is a guy who has shown that he can take a hit and get up. And so there's something to be said about that. I mean, this is a guy who has some leadership traits, a guy who does at least get the offense lined up. And you have, you know, still some inexperienced players on both sides of the ball. And so even though Brissett has certainly not lit it up in the last 2+ games, he is at least a little bit of a calming force. And I get the idea that this week that's been a big talking point. Mike Gesicki mentioned yesterday, the Dolphins tight end, that the leaders got the team together and had a talk about sticking together. And, you know, I think Brian Flores doesn't want to see this thing get away from the team so early in the season. Even if they were to lose at Tampa on Sunday, I think it's important that they not get their butts kicked. This needs to at least be a competitive game. You know, it's one thing to be 1-4 coming off a 34-3 loss heading to London. That's a long flight. And I will be on that flight. Not the flight, a flight or flights. They canceled my nonstop out of Miami. I won't say which airline. We don't have an airline sponsorship, do we?
No, not yet. Not yet. You know what? Don't say it, just in case.
I remember
unless it's Spirit, you can rip them all you want, because I would never ever sponsor Spirit, because then, you know, that then I have no scruples whatsoever. So You know, that I could tell you. You, if it's spirit, have at it.
About 10 years ago in my last job, I had a really bad air travel experience, as we all have. And since then, I've learned, don't tweet about it. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about your problems. Nobody cares.
Right.
All right. And so it's a waste of time. But what happened was, I didn't realize I was criticizing the biggest sponsor for my former employer's college football. So I got a letter in my file, brother. Nobody wants a letter in their file.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, I know. I got you. I know how that is. on that side, I've screwed up my share, but not on the sponsorship side. That one, I think I've been smart enough not to to mess that one up.
Well, I can tell you, if I ever refinance my house, I'm going to go with A Dream Lending. I mean, that's a slam dunk.
Yeah, I mean, Eves is just—he's just money, dude. He's just good people, and that whole staff is just—they're really good human beings, and they care actually. It's not just about the commission or anything like that. They actually care. They want to see you happy, because that's kind of been their business for years. It's one person tells another about their experience, and that's kind of what they've lived off of, you know, a great reputation. So yeah, they're good people, man. No doubt about that. All right. So I'm with you, by the way. I talked about that this week on the show, that I want to see a respectable effort this week. I don't want to see a 56-3 loss. Where, again, kind of like what we saw the past week, where it's just a disaster of a performance. And to me, Joe, this is where I'm actually putting more of the heat on Flo and the coaches. He might, you know, the other day he was talking about how his, you know, their game plan is fine, and in practice they're not holding and they're not committing errors and all that. But the fact is, they're doing it during a game. And where I lay it on the coaches is, if it's only one side of the football that's screwing up, then okay, maybe it's just some lapse of concentration. But you're screwing up on defense, you're screwing up on offense, you're screwing up on special teams, and that's my problem, that I'm watching mistakes all the way around, and this is where I have to now lay it on the coaches, because something's going on. Why they're having that lapse of concentration.
You know, special teams is kind of flown under the radar. The Jakeem Grant trade was broken by NFL Network on Twitter seconds after Danny Crossman left the all coaches media availability. So we didn't have a chance to ask Danny Crossman about the trade. And we were so caught up with the other coaches, you know, grilling George Godsey and Eric Studesville and John Pierre, that Danny's sitting over there by himself laughing like, yeah, nobody's coming over here asking me about Brennan Scarlett, you know. And also, without an open locker room, Brennan Scarlett will likely never address the terrible penalty that he committed on fourth down, jumping off sides. In a locker room, you would talk to him after the game, or you would talk to him on Monday, or you would talk to him on Wednesday. We're probably not going to hear from Brennan Scarlett this week, because the Dolphins probably aren't going to bring him in there. Into the media workroom. So I'm hoping one day we get that locker room back open. But yeah, I mean, look, Danny Crossman got off to a good start. They had some trick plays. Everybody was excited. It has not been always great since that start. And certainly the first year offensive line coach, John Pierre, you know, he's going to be, you know, scrutinized and watched closely, because the development has just not been there. I mean, you could say, well, maybe these offensive linemen aren't quite as good as Chris Greer and Brian Flores had hoped. But in my opinion, it's unlikely that they should be performing as poorly as they are as a group. Because it's not just one guy. It's like all of them. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And see, you know, I was talking about this throughout the show, and I've posted on social media. So the coach decided that, let's see, I'm going to have a injury-prone quarterback be protected by an incredibly young line with three second-year players, one rookie, and a journeyman guy, coached by a line coach that has never produced a good line, led by an offensive coordinators that have never led an offense in the NFL. Yeah, I don't know where that seems like that's a recipe for success.
Well, I mean, the lack
of experience everywhere on offense, they can't lean on anybody. for experience, for leadership, for there's nothing proven there.
And that's
nothing.
Why Mike Gesicki and Jesse Davis are trying so hard to be leaders, because Jalen Waddle is a rookie and Devontae Parker, who's an excellent player who should be getting the ball more, is not a vocal guy. And, you know, Austin Jackson is struggling terribly, and Liam Eichenberg is a rookie, and Miles Gaskin isn't getting snaps. You know, and as far as like the Flores thing, you know, he's been searching for what he wants his offense to be since he became a head coach. I mean, you know, is it supposed to be the Patriots offense with Chad O'Shea? Is it supposed to be the Bills Jets offense with Chan Gailey? I mean, everyone thought that, you know, Chan Gailey was in over his head. And, you know, maybe he wasn't as much in over his head as some folks thought.
Yeah. No, of course not. I wasn't one of the guys picking on Chan. I'm a Chan fan. I was a Chan fan from the first go around, that I thought he did a marvelous job with what he was actually handed, you know, the first go around, which, you know, that was actually some really good work.
I mean, if Chan came back, maybe it would have been, you know, less boring. It was kind of boring by design last year when Tua was in there. It was completely designed around limiting the chance for injury.
Yeah, and his lack of knowledge.
Yeah, also, and the simplified playbook, absolutely. Yeah, so maybe it would have been better this year. Maybe, you know, maybe the second time you have the same offensive coordinator for 2 years in a row, maybe that would actually be helpful. But here we are in Brian Flores' third year, and it'd be hard to suggest, oh, yeah, stud God is going to be the offensive coordinator combination in you know, next year.
Who ends up playing for Byron Jones? Because it looks like he's going to miss this week.
Last week, the Dolphins went with Justin Coleman, who has really struggled as a free agent signing in the slot. It's clear that Nick Needham is a better player than him in the slot at this point. I thought the Dolphins might slide Needham outside and put Coleman in the slot, but they liked the way Needham was playing in the slot, and they liked the matchup that they had with Needham inside. I don't think they're going to move Jason McCourty to corner. He wouldn't tell us yesterday. You know, it's the whole secretive Patriot way. All the former Patriots, very secretive. They've been drilled and beaten down about not sharing anything and not saying anything interesting. So I would think that, you know, Tom Brady is going to have a good opportunity to avoid X and throw at Coleman and Needham, regardless of how they line up. I don't see any way that Noah Igbinoghene is going to come off the shelf with all that dust on him and get thrust into the starting lineup. At 1-3, I just don't see the Dolphins doing that.
Do you expect the Dolphins to kind of be in this game? Patricia beat them last year, right? It seems like the expatriate coaches have some success in slowing him down. Flo beat him 2 years ago in 2019 to close out his first season and knock them out of the bye week. So we are talking about a scheme, and it seems like, you know, Belichick the other day limited, you know, that Tampa offense, and he and Flo had very little talent, no X on the field in 2019 against Brady. So are you expecting that there's something about these Patriot coaches that they know how to slow down Brady?
I think I picked 34-20 bucks. I think the Bucs are going to be able to move the ball through the air, and I think the Dolphins are going to have a really impossible time running. And I think that I don't like this matchup. I don't like this matchup. I think the Bucs are better than the Patriots. And you know, even though Raekwon Davis maybe comes back, that could help a little bit in the interior. Even though maybe Brissett gets a little more aggressive early on. You know, maybe the Dolphins move the ball better. I think they will move the ball a little better. I just don't know that they're going to be able to stop Brady offensively. But you're right. I mean, I think that Brady is 3-3 in his last six against the Dolphins. Xavien Howard intercepted him twice in a recent game. Nobody has intercepted Brady more than the Dolphins. I'm sure he's played the Dolphins more than anybody. But the Dolphins are a very young team overall. And guys like Jalen Phillips and Javon Holland, if he gets more than a few reps this week, which he should, all right, Javon Holland should get more than a few reps based on his talent and skill and upside. I didn't like how few reps he played last week. That bothered me. Those guys, you know, they might be, you know, a little wide-eyed at the beginning. Oh, it's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And you got to get past that.
Right. Yeah, you're
not
right.
Always so easy.
Two things before I let you go. When you talk to Godsey and the offensive coordinators, did you feel their frustrations with Brissett being so conservative early in games? Because I know he addressed that, yeah, we got to get Parker the ball early, but, you know, talk is cheap. It's how do you get your own quarterback to be motivated to be aggressive early?
Yeah, I think Brian Flores, George Godsey, Eric Studsville would all like to see, in my opinion, Jacoby Brissett be more aggressive. I said to Godsey, are the receivers getting enough space? And they are. I see it on the tape. They're getting enough separation. And he said, you know, in the NFL, what you might think is not separation sometimes is. I think that's his way of saying, yeah, there were opportunities there to throw the ball to the guy, and Jacoby didn't. So, again, Jacoby very sensitive to this. Jacoby's been criticized throughout his career, and in particular been criticized for being too conservative, just worried about the passer rating and the not turning the ball over. And there's something to be said for that. But for them to have a chance against Tampa, they're going to have to get more chunk plays.
Yeah. No, I mean, you got to take some chances. All right, one more thing. Jalen Phillips, does it look to you like he's turning the corner now?
Yeah, he's played really well. Last week, he really looked really good. I mean, he converted speed to power. He bull rushed over a guy. He ran around a few guys. I like the combination of Jalen Phillips and Christian Wilkins. You know, Wilkins has really stepped up this game with Raekwon Davis out the last 3 weeks. To me, Wilkins looks fitter, more athletic. And he told me yesterday that he's taking more calculated chances. I think he was so caught up in the first couple of years of his career at staying within himself and staying within the scheme and not getting criticized for vacating his gap. Every now and then, as an interior defensive lineman, asking Ndamukong Suh, who we'll see on Sunday, or an Aaron Donald, you need to kind of like use your feel for what's happening to manipulate your way past the guy and get in the backfield and create more tackles for loss and more pressure. That's something you're seeing from Wilkins. So I do not blame the Dolphins' defensive front for the Dolphins' 1-3 start. Plenty of blame to go around, but I'm not going to blame the defensive line. I think they still have a very good defensive line.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt. And if Phillips starts turning the corner, that starts to open it up for Ogbah, who's played well, but he's going to end up with more sacks this way. And Phillips' sacks will now start coming too, because you just don't have enough people to block if you have these kind of guys that can start breaking free and getting after the quarterback. So, and then if you have Wilkins, you know, doing a little penetration, all of a sudden now, you know, and maybe now we'll start to see more of Van Ginkle, because as guys now start, as guys start freeing themselves up, that starts to create plays for each other. So, yeah, you're right about that. That could be a really nice trickle-down effect to everybody with Jalen Phillips really picking it up and Christian Wilkins. I'm with you there. Follow him on Twitter at Shad Joe. Catch his work, of course, at the Palm Beach Post, and catch him twice a week here. You'll catch him again on Sunday morning at 11:15 as we preview the Bucks and the Dolphins while we're at Sports Grill in Miami Lakes. Joe, as always, thank you, my brother. You're going to Burn Steakhouse, by the way, when you go up there?
I don't know. Some of the guys were talking about it. I think I'm going to drive. I was going back and forth on drive or fly. I don't mind driving, so I think I'm going to
drive. Yeah, drive. Yeah.
I think I'm going to hit the road and listen to a little, you know, Jimmy Buffett, a little Tom Petty. We'll be good.
You got it. You've been to Burns, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I like steak, but I'm not a guy. I don't eat a ton of steak, but I like steak.
You can have
I'll
some
go.
Lobster.
The guys
there.
Go, I'll go.
You can have some lobster there. You can have some fish. They do. That's true. Fish is fresh, swimming in the damn barrels. They kill it right there for you, dude.
It's tough to be the guy who orders fish at a steakhouse. You know, it's a little frowned upon.
Yeah, I know.
It's a little frowned upon.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, but have you been in that kitchen? Have you taken the tour?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's impressive, dude. I mean, that's and then the dessert room upstairs. Woo, doggy. That thing is sweet. All right, Joe. Love you, brother. Thank you. I'll see you on Sunday.
All right, bye.
You got it. There you go. Our American Dream Lending, Miami Dolphins Weekly Report.